what I like to talk about, getting to know ourselves. There is this poem from a Zen master that says, to know the path is to know ourselves. To know ourselves is to forget ourselves. And to forget ourselves is to meet the heart of everything. Or something like that. The translation is homemade, so. So we can speak for now about this. To know the path is to know ourselves. And I wonder how to get to know ourselves when what we seem to be, or when we look in, what we see is something that we call ourselves, but basically we could say it has nothing to do about ourselves. Or in other words, we look inside, or we understand who we are, in a way that doesn't really say anything about who we really are. We see our own layers, we see our own creations, that which we had been building up in order to protect or to save our me, to save my basic me, what we consider who I am and what we think we have to protect and to contain in some sometimes strong and big mirrors or boundaries, and sometimes less strong boundaries. So usually when we come to meditation retreat, or when we start that which we call meditation, which doesn't necessarily is meditation, but let's call it meditation to understand each other. When we start this path, many times what we actually want is to get rid of something or to fix something. There is a sense of disillusion, or a sense of not totally liking who I am, and also about a wonderful sense of a kind of a guess of maybe things could be different. You know, maybe I could be different. Maybe I don't need to only react and build my life around fear or reaction, which is the same. You know, maybe I can walk without a gun. So this sense, this kind of bird that speaks and says, maybe we are made for something else. We are made to be wider than what I think, or we are made to be more free than what we usually live. That bird is the pushing, is the start of trying to do something about it. But in this trying to do something about it, usually we get ourselves in the same working position. We get ourselves ready to work, let's say, as we do in everything else. You know? There is a mission that they have, a thing that needs to be changed, a job or whatever. So I get ready with the attitude of getting that fixed. So we prepare ourselves with tools, call it meditation, tools, yoga, or whatever, techniques, no? Meditation techniques. We prepare ourselves with those meditations to face the dragon, no? to change that which we understand needs to be changed. I could be happier than I am, so there is something I can do about it, so let's get into action. And it's not that this is wrong, or perhaps this is wrong, but many times that step leads us to a more true or more real, more kind step. So at the end it doesn't matter that much if that is the right way to approach meditation or not, because probably if we just keep going with our hearts, it will unfold and we will keep on seeing what is behind and behind and behind. But it seems to me that it's interesting to mention that in case we can jump and go for it. What are we trying to fix? Would be one question. And which attitude are we taking to fix that? What am I doing to fix that? These days, and for a while now, I'm in love with horses. When I say that, people say, ah, you have a horse? No. Ah, you ride horses? No. Ah, you had horses when you were small? No. But I just have a sense, like a feeling of a horse like as something that we could work together to see beyond. And for 2 years now, I'm just waiting. If I like horses, I should do some thing about it. Like I should go and learn something about horses, or be with horses, or buy a horse or something. And I just keep saying, no, no. I see horses around and I say, yeah, but not this way. Ah, yes, but not this way. Yes, but not this way. So that's why I'm somehow still waiting. But finally I found this two or three people who seem to work the way I sense that could be interesting to learn. And just before coming to the States, like 15 days ago, I did this weekend workshop where we were just on the mountains in the Pyrenees observing wild horses. And it was so wonderful to just spend the whole 3 days just sitting there looking at the horses. We were not doing anything. We were just sitting there looking at the horses, taking some notes. Now the one with this white spot turns to the right. The one with the black spot turns to the left. Nothing else. But through the weekend, I just kept feeling what a gift that was, to just be able to start from the base. I was so happy that at least for once in my life, I didn't jump into doing all the courses available on the market. Well, among other things, because the horse world seems to be pretty expensive, I found. So that helped me not to jump in. So for once, to be passionate about something, it didn't mean to run and find out about everything about that subject and learning everything I could possibly eat and fit in my mouth just all together. Just observing. And it felt like a great gift because I just kept feeling like, which other way could it be to be with horses? Like, is there any other possible way? And then really seeing how any other way I see people with horses, it just doesn't fit with the nature of the horse. We try to dominate the horse. We try to feed the horse what we think is good for the horse. We try to give to the horse the kind of a space that we think the horse needs, with the roof. For a while I'm saying, I'm going to have horses. And whoever I say that, like the first, like people freak out and like, wow, but you need to build this and that, and you need to be there constantly, and you need to feed, and you need, I don't know, I get sick hearing all the things that I need to have a horse. And just observing the wild horses made me realize that I don't actually need anything to have a horse. What a way to complicate our lives, to put the horse in a box and to feed it three times a day, a food that probably will make pain in his or her stomach, and going for a walk on the weekends. So where I'm going with all of this horse story is to really see in which ways we are trying to dominate ourselves as we would do with the horse. In which way we approach our meditation activity, thinking that we know what we need to fix, thinking that we know what we need to do. I see this time that we spend together as a gift to go back. Go back to something that probably we don't remember through our minds. Our minds are too small to remember the hugeness of what we are. We could have a sense, many people have a sense of moments in the childhood or times when like it just seems huge, it seems wild, expensive, and I didn't do anything about it, it just happened. This is what is worth getting in touch with. And perhaps the way to get in touch with that is not the same way that we approach everything else in life. Perhaps it's not about fixing or going to work or imposing that which I think will work. But perhaps it's more this turning in and just giving time to ourselves to remember, to rewind, like to unveil this castle, this mirror that we build around us. And as we give ourselves to that, or in other words, as we put our hearts into that adventure, it's as if the world reveals itself. We don't even need to figure out which technique I'm going to use. If we are really available, you can say, if we use our time and our energy to be available, like to do less and to be more available, the path itself unfolds. And that which needs to be done, those little things that need to be done, that are tiny, is like much less than what we think. Like these just little drops. Somehow will be clear, will become clear what is the next step. What is the next window to open? What's the next movement? And those movements can change from one time to the other. That's why I love to speak of meditation as something alive. I like to speak about life as something alive, actually, which many times it's not what it seems to be. And something alive to me means something that is not stuck in one particular technique or in one particular way. It could be helpful to be in that one movement, in that one technique for some time, for a long time, or even for lives. But this is very different from taking it as the path or the technique. It's very different to impose in ourselves that which I guess I have to do, to get there. We don't even know where, but to get there. This is very different from tuning in, deeply listening, and in a creative way, finding a way. It's absolutely different. And maybe to the outside it doesn't seem different. Maybe we are same, sitting same, or lying down same. But what's going on inside is completely different. It's the difference between imposing that which I think I have to do, or letting life say its word and guide us. And that's one of the reasons of inviting everyone who wants to lie down. Because it does help just to go out of the working or the action mood. And getting relaxed enough so that something else can take place. Of course, let's say the inner world doesn't know much about screaming. It only knows about whispering. So perhaps we don't feel the results straight away. Perhaps we have to take the challenge of having the sensation of spending our time in this stupid way, or just lying down, like just sleeping. And the challenge of, oh my God, as the days pass, the time comes when I will have to tell my friends and my family what the hell I have been doing there. And there is nothing we can really actually say. And also there are not much results we could show and kind of. Be sure about and convince people. And that's difficult. That's a challenge, you know. I come here to learn, I come out, and I have no clue what to say, what to do. So this path of undoing, of becoming subtle, falling into a place where there is not much screaming going on, there is whispers. And being asked somehow again and again to give our hearts to that. I don't see any other way. I've been doing this for a while now, and I just keep being convinced that it's about bringing the heart in, whatever that means. I would like to find a better expression, but to be alive with life, to bring the heart in our practice, in that which we are doing. It's not enough to spend this week together. It's not enough to follow the schedule. It's not enough to lie down or to sit or to it needs your presence here, or your willingness. This giving ourselves to that, even if we don't know what that is. In a way, we could say is an act of faith. Is a huge act of faith that we do so that we could actually, at some point, erase the word faith from our dictionary. Because faith becomes wisdom. Because we can experience it instead of believing in it. But we are asked to spend time in this touching it. We are asked to spend time undoing the mess, unmessing the mess. And we don't have many examples around. Let's be clear. We don't have many examples of people living with, like, living without these protections. So it's scary. We are going to feel vulnerable. We are going to feel naked. We're going to feel exposed. And yet somewhere we know that we cannot do anything else but that. And when we discover then, when we discover that we cannot do anything else but that, just keep moving. There are two things that usually happen. One is we feel trapped. The beginning of the spiritual path, like when we start to feel, oh my God, there is no way out. There is a sense of being trapped. Some of us even say, I hope no one told me about this, so that I could keep being approximately happy. Instead of in a full mess, depressed, confused. This world is not for me. I'm not made for that. And there is the next step of starting to honor that. When we start to say, yes, I am a human being. And I'm going to live up to that. I'm going to live as a human being. I think it's not so weird to do that, since we are humans anyway. So deeply trying to see behind, when the horse was free and didn't need anything but the grass that was and is in the ground. and didn't need anything but being together to protect each other from the the other animals that eat horses. I don't know the name. The most difficult people to teach about the natural behavior of horses, of course, are the ones who had been around horses all their lives. They know too much. What they eat, what they like, which shoes they like to wear, which protections, which saddle, which comb, with this thing to brush the horses. It's so difficult for the people who know too much to enjoy a weekend just observing wild horses acting as they are. So the same happens to us when people come to retreats and say, oh, I have been meditating for 30 years. And I think, oh my God. Okay, we need some tools here. Need a good mechanic here. And it's so beautiful when someone fresh comes. Well, I don't know anything about meditation. I just feel it would be nice to do that. So to allow ourselves to be alive. To swim with what comes, with the waves that come. To deeply listen what's the right movement. I remember starting meditation and being very clear about how I'm supposed to meditate after some time. And a sense of success when finally I got it. Finally, now I know what I'm supposed to do during these 45 minutes. Okay. I'm supposed to follow my breath. Okay. Okay. Or I'm supposed to follow in, be good in sweeping my body. This is what they do sometimes. The body sensations. Or I'm supposed to walk slowly. Or I'm supposed to. Once we find something, we tend to get it. Not only get it in a way of understanding it, but just get it, like finally I got it. So from now on, I just put the fifth gear. In Spain we have gears in the cars, and go. I don't have to think more about what the hell I have to do, I just have to follow my breath. And when that happens, even though it's a moment of success, we can say, finding out what to do. To my understanding, actually, is a very sad moment. We die in that moment. Like something in us that was creative, that was innocently trying to find out, dies or goes to sleep. And courage is needed to follow your own heart. It's much easier to follow a tradition. And it's not always the case, but in many, many, many cases, following a tradition, it automatically means to suppress something, like something that naturally comes, we have to readjust so that it fits in the books of that tradition. And the traditions are wonderful, but our life is more precious than that. So when we are selling ourselves to that, selling ourselves to fit into that, then I think is a moment to really check in and balance if that's worth or not. To know this huge human tendency to belong, and in which ways the belonging is something needed and something wonderful, and in which cases the belonging is a trick. We end up doing this and that and that, that, just to belong, to feel part of the group. So it's actually very difficult for me to say anything without feeling like little guilty, like how to say, like saying anything without wanting any of the things that are said to be taken for granted, how to say. So this, your own dignity or your own trust in your own creativity or that which comes naturally, I would say that is what is most important, even if that makes you go around and around and around, you know. Sometimes it's good to check in, but to really consider that which comes naturally, I think is precious. So I don't know if there is any question. Yeah, I mean, for the last 2.5 years, we haven't been listening to each other's talk because, again, so, but I have, yeah, hopefully it has a link still. Yeah, if I guess, like, understand what you are saying. Yeah, there is a way of naming the different steps or naming the four stages or what happens, you know. And in a way, what I'm trying to say is that instead of working through the stages or instead of working through the what needs to be fixed, by this just sinking in or becoming simpler or getting in touch with our origins. There is a place of meeting. There is a place of clarity. So we go from not knowing and having faith into a place of basically knowing or falling into clarity and wisdom. And I don't know the four things she was speaking about, but that includes automatic expansion. Like you can work off, you can work with expansion, and you can work with expand yourself, expanding yourself, or same, like you could work on practicing metta. We could say, no, okay, there is a practice, wonderful practice that is metta, that basically is we play some trick or some game, you can say, whatever, or technique, it's more refined, to open our hearts, no? To provoke something inside that will make us feel expansion. Yeah? Yeah, we can do that or not. Or we can tune in and bring our heart in this place and keep on following the longing, fire that we have for freedom. And that would also naturally lead us to expansion and love for everything. So I like to speak a little more about this way, no? Usually I tend to tune more into this way, even though it's more tricky. I don't know if I'm saying anything of what you wanted to hear. Yeah, clarity. Yeah, for me, clarity is like falling into a sense of knowing. That a sense of knowing that is more real than you know, than this is real, like especially if it falls in your feet. So this is to me like clarity, something like that speaks by itself, that they could kill you and you still will have to say the same thing. You cannot, like, you would not be able to deny that.
Spirituality and meditation for, you know, 20 years. And it always seems like I'm always wanting the next person to tell me where that golden thread ends. And You know, I think your talk just reinforces, if I'm understanding correctly, it's really just about laying down with an open heart. Period.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of simplicity, so that really, that speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to look really for anything else than that.
Mm-hmm. That makes things simple, to like simplicity. Yeah.
Have you opened your heart?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Like remembering that you can eat the grass. You don't need this, like, granules, like, I don't know what it's called here. So spending time finding this fresh grass, it's still there. So if we have a couple of minutes together in silence. May we see through the layers and find our hearts and our true nature. So that we can get to know and be everything's heart.